You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
All right, welcome in. We are live. It is Minor Talk presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Bradis. He's Sal Montes. George Guajardo in the house as well. Kennesaw State beats UTEP 83-73. Let's get right to it. This is what UTEP is right now. They're 17-9. They are entering the final stretch of basketball where this is really going to count. This all really matters right now. I'm going to just try to speak facts here in this opening statement because that's just what we're going to start this off. Miners have lost four of the last six games, including losses to Middle Tennessee, 71-68. They lost to Western Kentucky, 78-74. They lost to Liberty at home, 76-69, and then tonight, 83-73, a 10-point loss to the Owls of Kennesaw State. Sandwiched in between those games right there include wins against New Mexico State and a win against Florida International. You got to win those games right there, right? If you expand it and go a week before this right here, the Miners have lost five of the last seven games. They lost a home game to Jacksonville State 73-66. That was on January 23rd. A month later, Sal, and this team right here went from going into that Thursday, January 23rd matchup, 14-4 and 4-1 in CUSA. Now they are 17-9, 7-6 in CUSA. Things have completely turned around here for the squad, which started off the month of January so promising, and they still have the conference title hopes, and they want that when it's all said and done in the tournament. It's not going to happen really unless something really turns around in the regular season as far as the CUSA championship, but this team right now is what they are. I mean, they're a team that turns other opponents away, turns them over in a big way, but right now they're allowing opponents in Conference USA to shoot 56% from two-point percent shots. They are allowing teams to go to the free throw line and hit 70% of their free throws, which is third best in Conference USA. And right now, they're struggling on their side offensively. They're not the same three-point shooting team. They're not the same two-point shooting team right now. They're kind of middle of the pack in the conference right here. So this team is what they are. They're 17-9 right now. They're heading to the final stretch of CUSA play, and they're trying to chase that 20 win mark. They might have to get there in the CUSA tournament when it's all said and done. And Sal, Jacksonville State looms on Saturday. Yep. That is a team that lost today to NMSU. I don't see them dropping back to back at home. Miners have Western Kentucky on Thursday and then Middle Tennessee on Saturday. I don't know. This is going to be a tough stretch for this team the way that they've been playing as of the last month.
Yeah, it's a total 180 from how they started out the year. Now, albeit they're against teams that we know that they already beat, and they're going to play the end of the season, but just a complete 180 from then, and it kind of makes you wonder what can happen in 6 to 7 weeks, right? And looking at who the Miners have coming up, obviously Jacks on Saturday, Western and Middle the following week, three very tough teams that they've yet to beat this year. As well.
That's a good point.
They've been in games with them, don't get me wrong. Jack stayed at home, Western and Middle. At times, they had chances on the road. But, these teams, Adrian, those teams have higher aspirations, than the way that they ended last year. So UTEP going into this season, hey, conference championship game, 10-33, it means a lot. Well, some of these other teams are disappointed in their finish as well. Who's to say that they can't improve from game one of this season in conference play? So it's going to be tough, man, because looking at it, Western Kentucky, standings-wise, I guess, they're beneath the Miners. But who's got the win in their lone matchup this year? So it's going to be a very, very tough final stretch because La Tech and Sam Houston, who they beat, are playing much better now than when they played the Miners the first go-round.
It's a good point. Sam Houston just beat Kennesaw recently. And the Miners right now, they started off the road stretch pretty strong. Now they're 4-4 on the road overall. They started off CUSA really strong. Now they're 7-5 in the conference right now. And look, they're 500 or better in those two categories. So again, the sky sky's not falling. The expectations were just really high that going into CUSA play, going into the season, you know, and they should be high. This team wanted that. They wanted the expectations. They wanted to ride what they did last year, the momentum of finishing as the Conference USA championship, runner-up. And they dropped the game to Western Kentucky in the championship matchup. But they want to get back to that point this year. And I feel like there's a lot of work to do here for this squad. Bad performances by certain players, we can get into that. There's also a lot of stats to jump into that are kind of alarming right now during the stretch right now. We'll welcome on our third member here on the broadcast. Our telephone number, by the way, if you want to weigh in, 915-505-6009. George Rehard, though, is with us right now. George, I think it's easy right now to sound doom and gloom, but what I'm trying to do to start this off is be a little more factual when it comes to just assessing what we've seen over the last month with UTEP basketball. Give me some of the stats that jump out to you, and then we'll react.
Yeah, you mentioned 2-4 in their last six games, right? You want to blow that up a little bit, even take it a little bit farther, 5-6 in their last 11. UTEP's standing right now at Conference USA, their total defensive field goal percentage is 43.7%, right? That's third worst. During that 11-game stretch that I mentioned, they're only giving up 43.8%. So it's hard. We talked about it right before the show started. You said that the numbers weren't going to tell the story, and they're not. So I don't know what to make of it. I'm trying to see in the couple of the, in the six of these games, right, that they've lost, they have given up 47. They've let teams shoot 47% or better from the field. Two of those games have included a 48.3 three-point percentage. That was the Liberty game, right? And then a 40.3-point percentage. That was Middle Tennessee. They've lost all six of those games, right? And it's hard to wrap your head around this. So I think it has more to do with the offense, and it's starting to really unravel on that end. 44% today from the field, 25% from three, 5-for-20. Just and most of it was Bynum, right? It's just not looking good on that end. But those are the numbers.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting you bring up the three-point numbers, and they are what they are, the 25%. Actually, if you would have asked me what they shot blindly, I would have told you, like, maybe 33%, maybe 30%. It wasn't good today, but to be 25%, Sal, from beyond the arc, I mean, things have to change. You heard the sense, almost a sense of urgency from head coach Joe Golding in the post-game comments with voice of the Miners, John Teicher. You know, he was saying that he felt it kind of all week. It just was kind of hanging over the team. He wasn't happy with the staff preparation, wasn't happy with the game plan, it seemed like. He also felt like they tried doing something, they stuck to it, whatever that game plan was. You could kind of see it defensively, and as a result, they had to live with it. They were kind of hoping that their game plan worked out the way it was supposed to, but Adrian Woolley is a prime example of that. 5 of 12, but he still gets 4 three-pointers. He finishes with 21 points because he had 7-for-7. Then you have another freshman in Braden Liu, who had 18 points on 7-for-11. Like, this guy was getting it, and he was out-toughing UTEP. Like, he just was the tougher guy on the floor going up against all the different players he went up against. At least in the first half, he had a mean streak to him.
Yeah, and you know what? They played extremely physical as well, and I bring that up because to that point, they only have 2 fouls combined between them, and you look at the rebounds, they have 11 rebounds between those two, so they're able to stuff the stat sheets in other areas of the game, all while they're able to get 31 plus minutes. I think Woolley 38, we had a Lou with 31, but all in all, Adrian, both of those guys, 8 three-pointers. You just look down the list and you see how well they complemented each other. And we're just talking about Woolley and Lou. We haven't even talked about Miller, Cottle, who was just – he came out of nowhere at times and was able to make plays. And that's what he's done all year. This Kennesaw team, really, really athletic. And then Sherman as well, having some good lines to his credit. But, man, this Kennesaw State team looked like a team in that self, right? We talked about who are some of the front runners for Conference USA. This team – at least today, and we kind of touched on it with Liberty, like that's a solid team. Those are the Liberty Flames. It's not the Liberty Matheny's or whatever the case is. You look at Kennesaw and Woolley leads the way, but all of these guys can get it. So you just mentioned the top two dogs. It's very tough to do when, you know, 5, 4, and 3 are also cooking.
Yeah, it's so true, man. And then you look at the UTEP side of things. It's Bynum with 24, David Terrell Jr. with a really nice 16. And by the way, when UTEP was hanging in the balance and just they were like trying to weather the storm, I felt like Terrell was pacing them nicely. I know he had some turnovers in this one that are frustrating. I know he had some inopportune fouls and stuff like that, but man, Terrell Jr.'s minutes tonight were so impressive, but that was it. I mean, Camper was 10 points, but 5 for 10, 2 turnovers in this one as well. He had a steal in 33 minutes of action. You just need more. You need either you have Corey Camper Jr. do that, and you have Frazier the third going double figures, and you have a Bynum, or Barnes, I should say, getting to double figures, and you have Kalu in double figures. Like, they just need more offensive production from others. And even, you know, it was Trey Horton who was trying to get things going at one point in this game. And it just never really happened here for the Miners. It felt like after one guy would get open, perfect look on their side, they'd miss it. Kennesaw State would get it on their side and get a huge bucket. There was just way too many cases of that tonight. And I think certain points, Sal, big players just rise up and say no more. Like, this is just not going to happen in a string of events, a series of events. And I got a little worried when Golding started to call those early timeouts. I was like, uh-oh, this team is rattled.
Yeah, and there's various points that you could look at it, some turnovers and the coaches throwing their hands up or missed assignments and, you know, coaches throwing their hands up as well, just not feeling as confident out there on the floor. But I just think it's the complimentary basketball that Kennesaw was playing. Whenever they went to the line after getting fouled and making the bucket, they made their free throw, more times than not, or they clipped at a higher percentage, but they did things that didn't deflate their game. And if it was something like that, they didn't get deflated. I really hope that makes sense. For UTEP, if they miss a free throw, it feels like added pressure every single shot that's missed out there. Kennesaw missed it. Cool. Go out there, chuck it up again, or play solid defense, get the possession back, make the shot in transition, and guess what? That last shot that you missed doesn't even matter no more. So you felt that with UTEP a lot more than Kennesaw.
Yeah, a couple other quotes that stood out to me from head coach Joe Golding saying that he was really frustrated with the side of the ball, talking about the defense. He said, tonight our start in the first half, no energy. And then he went on to say, we've lost an identity on that side of the ball right now. I mean, that's you know, he's a truth teller. Golding, I appreciate how candid he is in some of these interviews. And it's almost like soul searching in a sense of wondering what's going on. Like, what happened right here? Because this isn't the identity that UTEP basketball had earlier this year. So it's just real interesting to see how different they're playing from where they started in January. More from Golding. He said, you know, he loved the fight of their guys in the last 25 minutes. He said, we got to stick together, play hard, play together. I think our guys will respond and give us a chance to win on the road, alluding to Jack State. So, you know, Golding says all the right things to close out the interview. I felt like, you know, he kind of tempered down a little bit of how, I guess, you know, nervous he sounded at some points just about this last stretch of basketball for the squad. But at the same point, you know, they got to win games. Like, the fight has to translate to wins in order for this to hold some meaning, hold some substance here down the line. And then again, you know, this team is built for that CUSA tournament run. And I mean that they have that mentality still in the back of their minds. You know, it's still about the marathon at the end of this race. Like, it's still about one more marathon of 3 games in 4 days or, you know, 4 games in 3 days. That's not going to happen. It's going to be three games at most in 3 days. And the Miners are going to have to be built for that. And that's coming up second, third week of March.
And their style of play is super, you know, super energetic on defense. So that's a lot of energy exhausted. So when there's those, you know, 2-3 games in 2-3 days, who knows where else they're going to have to dig deep, especially when they've been playing this way all year. But I got a fun stat for you guys.
Okay.
Or a question, and then I have the number. Combined first half points for Kennesaw State against UTEP this year, over or under 95?
Well, I'm going to go over.
Okay, he's going over. I'm going to go over, too.
You're going to go over. That was a very generous one. It's actually 98. I should have said, like, 97 and a half, but that's kind of too close, you know. But, no, man, 98 points. 41 points in El Paso when they played the Miners at the Haskins. And, of course, 47 today. UTEP.
Wow.
I mean, 33 points today, not enough at home. 37 points first half-wise, not enough against Kennesaw. They do get it done in the second half, but,
It took a lot in the second half, if you remember, for that one.
Yeah, and that defense was clamping down. They were sealing the deal with rebounds. But today, Kennesaw just a bit better than they were in El Paso, especially when it comes to finishing off possessions the right way.
You know, Sal, I said this before the game, but I still stick by it. UTEP should win this game. I said it earlier today on Sports Talk, and I don't feel any differently now. UTEP should have gone on the road. If they are truly the team that we think they are, they should have gone on the road. They should have went on the road and beat this Kennesaw State team, even if they had that, you know, halftime deficit, like you said, because it kind of happened at the Haskins Center. Yep. They were down big in the first half. They rallied back in the second. They won it. This time around, just couldn't do it. Not enough in the tank. So there we go. That's our start here. 915-505-6009. Let's get to Twitter next. I think we feel very spirited about this one because I feel a little bewildered, dumbfounded, whatever you want to say, just because of how this has been a consistent thing now for about a month. The Miners have been kind of playing, you know, a little like average. Not it's just not to where they were, Sal. They were playing so much better than this.
I'd say below average, just the way the
Did
trend is going.
Do we have to ask that question? I think it's premature right now, but I'm floating it out there. Did they peak in January or like in non-conference play at certain points this year, and now it's like the numbers are starting to even out?
That's a fair question.
Maybe too early to ask.
I don't know. And the reason I say this is I answered to myself when you asked it. I was thinking, no, let's wait until Jacksonville State. You know, let's wait until the next big game. But how many times this year have we said, hey, let's wait until this road trip. Let's wait until they host so-and-so to see if they're for real. And then we kind of just push that back. I don't think that's fair at all. So just the way that they've been playing, I mean, they're 2-4 in their last six. What was it? 3-5 or something along the lines of that in their last games in that part? Probably so, man, because they look nothing like they did early on in the season. And guys are healthy right now.
Guys are healthy, you know? Right now. They've got everybody available, George.
Yeah, which it leaves you wondering, like you guys said, did they peak? Maybe that UC Santa Barbara game was it, right? Maybe that win
or
on the
Yale,
road. Or Yale.
Or UNC Greensboro. But that's early in the season. Yeah. You should be peaking in March.
Exactly. And that's part of the bigger issue, right? That they're in, like you said, in their head, they're just gearing up for this conference run. Maybe a flawed strategy. Time will tell. But yeah, they're leaving a lot on the floor, I think, especially offensively, right? You're just not happy with that. I think you could even point at the bigs. 40 minutes between the three bigs, Kevin Kalu, Derek Hamilton, Elijah Jones, they went 4-for-12, shot 33% from the floor. That's your big guys down low. Not going to get it done. I mean, and you talked about the depth, and when you're missing that, this team already struggles to score as is. It's just not going to help.
And maybe, you know, maybe we're coming at this the wrong way, knowing this team is 68% win percentage right now. So they're still a 17-9 team overall. Sal, I'd also ask you another thing on this. This was also brought up on the pregame show. And again, you know, all this matters really in March, and we're going to judge this team. And regardless of what happens here tonight at Kennesaw, we're going to judge this team about what happens March 11th through 17th when they go to the CUSA tournament. That's what we're going to be asking. But what was alluded to in the pregame show, I thought was kind of interesting about Golding just talking about the season. He was alluding to this week in practice and just was saying it's a grind right now. This team went to the Bahamas in the summer. This team, and you factor even before that, Sal, you figure, well, a lot of these guys probably hung around during the summer. They probably got extra work in during the summer. Then they go off to the Bahamas. They play the three-game exhibition over there. It's just, you know, it's tiring of travel. It was, you know, they won, and they beat those teams pretty easily. That's not like a basketball basketball took a huge physical toll on them while they were over there. It was just the travel. It is what it is. Then they go to school. They go, and then they travel to Chihuahua to take on the team out of Chihuahua. And that was real interesting. That was in October. So then they go on that road trip. And then right back at it, late October at New Mexico for an exhibition. So all of that coupled with the fact that we're here now in late February, it's just a grind of a season. You know, you got to be built for this. And that takes a lot of toughness for players, coaches, and, you know, everybody involved.
It is a lot. But also, too, your mantra was 10-33 this year. What does that truly mean to you?
It's got to mean something.
How deep are you willing to dig to overcome that? How far are you willing to go to overcome that? In that sense, if 10-33 is what really matters, and that's the ultimate end game is to kind of, you know, make up for that and win the Conference USA Championship, everything else beside that, you got to endure to get to it. It's kind of like, hey, fourth quarter's coming up of the season. You know you got to get through the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. You can't just say, well, fourth quarter is what matters. Let's coast until then. It might be too late by then. So it is a bit concerning when the eyes are on the bigger prize. You do got to keep the main thing the main thing, but you also can't be, underperforming leading up to it. There are standards that you got to set for yourself, and if there are, which I'm pretty sure there are, they're big time athletes, you're not reaching those standards right now. And you got to be able to beat some of these tougher teams in the regular season in order to feel better, or at least let the fans feel better, right? This is all just fan aspect. Have them feel better going into it. Ultimately, it's how you perform, but the way they have been performing, there's no indication that you could feel more excited than concerned.
915-505-6009, our telephone number as we continue. Couple of tweets to get to right now here on the program. This is David Castro. Man, anyone else remember the good old days when we used to beat up on old schools like Kennesaw? Now they're showing us how to play the game, staying pessimistically optimistic for the tournament play. And then Matthew Castro follows it up with his thoughts. There's been so much hype, yet at the end of the day, we're a middle-of-the-pack CUSA, one game above 500. Doubt we make the 20-win mark. Sure, let's hope we get hot in the tournament, but this team has been nothing but inconsistent all year long, so it's not looking good. This is coming in from Tristan Pence. Once again, in a crucial game, UTEP is not ready to play. Once again, UTEP will likely finish the regular season in the middle of CUSA. This is year four for Coach Joe Golding, and he isn't getting the job done. The Miners were lethargic and just plain bad on defense tonight. We'll get to more tweets. Let's get to Brian here as we continue here on the program. Brian, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Doing well, Brian. What'd you think?
Well, it was awful. Credit to UTEP News for what I'm about to say, but is 10-33 a time signature or how much UTEP is losing by? Because at some point in this game, it felt like a really bad loss incoming. And it's true, it did end badly for the team. And, you know, it's giving questions about Golding going forward, because if you keep going on this losing streak, considering we have to play a lot of games on the road going forward, what does this leave for the team? Are we even going to hit the 20-win mark? I'm not sure what will happen, but like you said, Adrian, all that matters is what happens in March in the tournament. But we'll see what happens. Let's see if they can get hot, because today they were stone cold.
Yeah, they really were, man. I appreciate the phone call, Brian. Thank you for weighing in. As far as Golding goes, I'm not there yet at all. I just want to be clear on my stance. I'm a Golding fan of what he's done up to this point, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt in the sense that let's judge him at the end of this year, not right now. I'm not a judge in the middle of the season type of person, and because of the run they made in the CUSA tournament last year, I'm going to reassess after the CUSA tournament on my thoughts there. So I'm still behind that kind of stuff, and I'm not going to say anything like I don't think he's a man for it or anything like that until we know more, until we have some finality to this season. Trey Pollitt's 9-9 or probably a 6 or 7 seed in the conference tournament, and 1-and-done in the conference tournament. Burn that 10-33 BS and go hire us a good coach. Time to get serious about men's basketball, Jim Center. Wow. Tristan Pence, number two, we're heading into March and the coaching staff needs to get this team dialed in. Frankly, there's no more excuses. Miners are a veteran team and need to start playing with consistency and toughness. Hashtag Miner Talk. Minetto, slow starts aren't good. Kennesaw State started the game with great shooting. Andrew at UTEP Men's Basketball, West Texas. I thought it was going to be a blowout, but they fought back in several times, which I can appreciate. Unfortunately, I think this team is peaked, and this will not be, and they will not be going dancing this year. Save that take, Andrew. Save that take. Don't come back to us and say that they're going to go dancing 2 weeks from now or something like that. So save that take. This is Trey Politz. It's time to, for UTEP to get serious about men's basketball and get a good coach, not mediocre no more. I hope Golding. This is Golding's last year. He's not a good recruiter of talent either. Ugh, I just think it's unfair. I think Trey Politz has been consistent on this, but I just, you know, I would disagree completely, Trey. Until the end of the season, don't make your judgments too harsh there, man. You can judge the coaching game to game. You can, you know, think that, but my thoughts are just wait till the end of the season, at least for me. Tristan Pence, my friend, Kennesaw State started the game on fire because they were wide open. UTEP's defense was awful. They were not ready to play this game, and it's a shame because it was a crucial and winnable game. I hate to keep saying it, but UTEP's issues start with their coaching staff. This is Daniel coming in. Do you think Jim Center should go too? It seems like he can't really hire good coaches outside of Ben Wallace, the volleyball coach. This is coming from Let's Talk Facts Only. I like it. From the outside perspective, UTEP has a defensive coach that has a team struggling on the defensive side of the ball. That is not a good sign for a veteran squad. King Eric tweeting the program. Good to hear from him. The road woes continue. Going down from 8-0 to start the game is obviously not great. This is extremely concerning. I'm afraid to say this, but I think this team peaked when they won the Haskins tournament. Also, UTEP is in the bonus, and they refuse to drive down the lane to get to the foul line. One last thing, Bynum shut my Izzy coming back down to earth take down. This is from Adrian. The regular season championship is probably gone, but they can still win the tournament. Let's see if they can peak again. You know, it's a good point too. I mean, there's always a thought that he, you know, he could always do something where he's actually like putting together another peak, and that's got to be the hope, Sal. You got to re-peak, right? You got to have different peaks and valleys and seasons, but
yeah.
Your second peak or whatever, the last peak has to come in March.
Yeah, if they peaked earlier, they could definitely try and get that trend upward again. But you said it's peaks and valleys, not peak and valleys, right? There has to be more than one. I mean, the way they've played lately doesn't make you feel too confident about it. But, I mean, they completely shocked a lot of people when they were able to beat New Mexico State on the road. You know, they got it done over there, especially without a key player. So who's to say they can't do it again? Anything can happen. We'll see if it happens.
UTEP News was on fire today. I'm just going to say shout out to him. He put in some extra work today. That's all I have to say. This is from Jared Barrios. Credit the Owls. They got out on the block so fast we couldn't catch up. We know they're catching their stride, and it would have been tough to beat their young stars. Just have to move on to a wounded Jack State when it looks like a must win to stay in the top four of CUSA. I mean, that's a, you know, I didn't think of the top four CUSA point, Sal, but now you have to kind of look at it, right? UTEP right now, as it stands, 7-6 in CUSA. In front of them is Kennesaw State now, who is 8-6. They're fourth. Middle Tennessee, third, 8-4. Liberty, second, 9-4. Jacksonville State, 10-4 at first place. So you got to, if you're UTEP right now, you look at that single game separation. That's comforting right there, but you can't have two games. You can't have three games because then you start to slide in this league.
Yeah, and two of your last five games are against teams that are ahead of you. That being Jacksonville State, of course, coming up this weekend. Then you got Middle Tennessee later on. But let's not forget, they still got Louisiana Tech, who's just behind them. They still got Western Kentucky, who I think is one and a half or two games behind them as well. And Sam Houston, who won't catch up to UTEP likely, but playing a lot better than they did. So some of these other teams, man, they're playing some of their better basketball. So this is real meaningful. This is a real meaningful schedule. We talked about the meaningful games that they had dropped. Well, there's a lot more coming up. And guess what? The next one is right around the corner, just after a meaningful game that they had on this Thursday.
It's interesting because KenPom predicts UTEP, New Mexico State, and Western Kentucky will all finish 9-9. So if that's the case, I wonder what the tiebreaker looks like. UTEP would be, in that case, tied for fifth, along with the Aggies and the Hilltoppers. Wonder who wins the tiebreaker. And that could mean something, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you're talking about the seventh seed versus the fifth seed, that could mean something. Miners just have to control their own destiny, win their own games.
Yeah, I think they would have that tiebreaker based on overall wins.
I don't know.
But they would have to get the split against Western Kentucky as well.
Very true, regard. Because what if Western wins both? That's
exactly
a good point.
If they do, then I don't think it's going to matter.
Yeah.
At all. I don't know what, and even then too, we could dig deeper. I don't know what that would mean between them and New Mexico State. I don't know what that split or series looks like so far, but who knows, man. Every conference has their own tiebreaker rules as well.
Yeah, and good thing it's not a coin flip or who crosses the 50 more or anything mm-hmm. like that, like high school football. Sad UTEP fan, Golding will make a great assistant coach and can help a real coach win a championship, but this dude is not a head coach. Sorry, not sorry. 4 years and it's the same old, same old. Hopes he proves me wrong, but damn. You know, it's crazy how the fire Joe Golding people come out after losses. Like, it feels like the losses sting more to the UTEP fans right now. Maybe they've stung ever before. I don't know if it's the timing. I don't know if it's the fact that UTEP's going to the Mountain West, so fans have a sense of urgency. I really don't know what it is, but do you feel the same way, Sal? I just feel like recently, maybe it's the last month or so, and yeah, maybe it's the fact that the Miners have kind of trended downward during this last month, but the Fire Golding crowd comes out big time now, and I just feel like it's at least from my perspective, I feel like it's unfair right now.
It's easy to say things when what's happening favors your argument, and you know, you can be quiet when it's not going that way. We didn't see it when they were, battling for first place against New Mexico State. We saw it, half of them after the loss, but nah, man, it's not. There's still a lot more basketball to be played.
Yeah, we could talk out scenarios at the end of the year. The season ends a certain way, and I could feel both ways, right? I could feel in the same boat that like Golding and his future might be unclear after this year, but at the same time still be bought in on him as a coach right now until the end of the season. And then we'll start to, assess what's going to happen next. Is it an extension? What it really looks like. So,
yeah. And the interesting part is we're talking about Golding here, but you can say the same for the New Mexico State Aggies.
Right.
Hey, they should be better than 14-2 overall. They should be winning more in Conference USA. It's
their fans were mad
year.
During that home stretch and losses.
The same way that the Miner fans were overreacting when they lost at home to the Aggies is the same way Aggies fans were reacting when they lost at home to the Miners. Louisiana Tech, my goodness. Yeah, 17-9 overall, and you're coming to life, but 6-7 in Conference USA in what, 2, 4, 6, like seventh place, so to speak. Their fans would say, hey, they're better than this. At Western Kentucky, who has been a disappointment overall this year as well, they are playing better, but none other than Sam Houston, man. Sam Houston is second to last place, playing a lot better now, but tell their fans, hey, going after winning the Conference USA regular season championship, hey, you're going to be 10-16 overall, 3-10 with like 5 or 6 games left in conference play. They'd be furious. So it's going on all around the league.
Yeah, and they've had injuries, but still, I agree with you. And they've had 3 overtime games in CUSA play that didn't go their way. So
a lot of heartbreaking losses.
Yeah,
for sure.
At the same time, you got to win them. It's at the same time, you're judged on wins and losses. And yeah, I get it. There are tough times for all these teams, but yeah, I'm with you, Sal. It's going to be interesting, this final stretch here of CUSA play. 5 more games here down the stretch. We're going to do this. We're going to wrap up our show right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Miner Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Back here on Miner Talk as we continue, Kennesaw State defeats UTEP 83-73. Let's keep it going. 915-505-6009. That is our telephone number. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Let's go to more on Twitter and X. This is CMG West WT Fan 1974. I remember when the Miners were nationally known hoops program. How far they've fallen. Never heard of Kennesaw State. State. Oh man, that second one got me. I like that. I like that comment. Paul Reynoso. Oh, I have my thoughts, but I will refrain from saying it since it's not suited for I don't even know what that, for the web, for websites. I don't know what that means, but I'll just say it, not suited for radio. Thank you, Paul. Hashtag Miner Talk from Paul. Appreciate you. 915-505-6009. George, your thoughts on just like the vitriol that Golding is starting to get like out of the last month. I'm not there yet. I can't get there until the end of the season. Then I'll talk about, you know, my thoughts on the whole season and where the coaching staff finished out.
Yeah, I'm not there yet either. I'm right there with you, Adrian. I think that he is accountable. I think he holds his players accountable and his staff accountable.
Good way
accountable.
Of saying it. Well put.
And there are building blocks here, and it's gotten better, you know, these last few years. The win totals, right? And we're steaming towards maybe 19, 20 wins again, right? Well, and that's an improvement. But I think Miner fans are just that they're feeling that we're behind schedule here. And I don't know what ultimately their expectations were or are. But just like you say every game, like, don't take Otis Frazier for granted. Don't take David Terrell for granted. Don't take Coach Golding for granted, man. We could end up with another Rodney Terry, you know, or something, you know, end of his career, Tim Floyd, where he's just kind of like coming and picking up a check. That might be unfair to say for Coach Floyd. But, you know, I do think that he is doing everything he can to get this team right. They're just not making baskets right now on the offensive end. Maybe, like you said, we have a second win in us and some of these shots will start falling for UTEP. But right now, I do believe that Coach Golding is doing everything he can to right this ship.
Okay, we'll go year by year. 2022, 20-14. 2023, 14-18. Last year, 18-16. This year, 17-9. So there you go. Facts year by year. Let's start winding it down, guys. Let's go to our hot hand of the game. This is presented by Wind Supply El Paso. I think it's pretty easy to tell where we're going here. It's going to be Ahmad Bynum, 24 points, 11 of 12 from the free throw line. He had 2 rebounds in this matchup, 22 minutes. So, Sal, 24 points, 22 minutes. That's insane. Yeah. That is why he is the hot hand of the game.
And you know what? It's the most points by a Miner this year as well.
That's a good stat. Did Voice of the Miners John Teicher say that? I missed that.
I don't know if he did. Credit to him. I got to be honest. I was just looking at it here. Maybe he did and I didn't catch it. But
Awesome. That's a great stat.
I'll reel off a couple of others against UC Santa Barbara. Barnes had a 23. And what else? Let's see. 21 for Camper against San Jose, 21 Frazier against La Tech.
I would have thought Frazier had the highest up
and,
to this point.
He had a 22 against Florida International as well. But these guys kind of spanning months in between these types of numbers, or multiple weeks, we should say. So, no, man, that's what you want. You want your shooters to shoot in a game where the other team's on fire. You got to try and catch up as well or match the pace a bit. Bynum doing what he could at best, right, to keep him at bay, you know, for a good part of it.
Yeah, and he had an 161 offensive rating. He had 32% of UTEP's points tonight, 24 points again, and he made a trio of three-pointers. He is the hot hand of the game. This is brought to you by Wind Supply El Paso. Hey, check out the Find a Dealer tab at windsupplyelpaso.com. You can see certified champion elite dealers. You can see all the different MasterCool dealers. That is windsupplyelpaso.com, the proud sponsor of the Hot Hand Award here on Miner Talk. And then our player of the game here tonight, I think we got to do a clean sweep for Ahmad Bynum. You know, mm-hmm. I liked David Terrell Jr.'s performance in this one, but, you know, 16 points, 6 of 9. I think he's still killing it. I'm a big fan of David Terrell's last, you know, 2 months. During the tough parts and during the good parts, he's been really, really strong and solid. 16 points, 36 minutes of action. So I just want to give a good shout-out to David Terrell Jr. as well. Hey, we will be back at the District West 32-33 North Mesa come next Thursday for UTEP versus Western Kentucky. It is Student Appreciation Night, and we'll have some tickets available ahead of the matchup out at the district. So stop by. The game and the tip-off is 7 o'clock. We'll have it for you right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. But until then, Miners turn the page. It's Jacksonville State. I got the loss. I just don't see them winning a game this road swing, Sal. Where are you at?
Oh, that's going to be tough. I think earlier on in the year I said it's probably a split, but I thought they would get the Kennesaw one instead of Jack State. I still don't feel too comfortable, going against Jack State. They're number one for a reason in this conference. They've had a bad stretch, and they're still in first place.
Right? I know,
who's
right?
to say they can't catch some more fire? We asked, hey, did UTEP peak? Can they re-peak? Jacksonville State's wondering the same thing, and they're still in first place. Yeah. Damn,
that's
chill.
A crazy thing.
So, man, I do think Jax gets this one.
Okay, George.
Yeah, no, I'm with you guys. I think Jack State, it's just like what Sal said. They're not doing any soul-searching. UTEP is having a look in the mirror here. Jack State has the best score, right, and one of the best dogs in this conference in Hogue. So, yeah, no, I got Jack State. They're not going to lose two in a row.
Nice. Okay, let's see what happens. It'll be tomorrow, or I should say Saturday, and we'll have it for you. It's a 3 o'clock tip-off on Saturday, a rare afternoon matchup. So we'll have it for you coming up here on 600 ESPN El Paso. But, guys, I think that's going to wind it down here for us tonight. I think everybody's out watching Four Nations face-off. I understand it. We're going to be turning the page watching that as well, USA-Canada here tonight. But until then, it's UTEP-Jack State. That's coming up Saturday. We'll have minor talk after the game as well, and then we'll be back in action next week for sure, and then of course for the rest of the season here as we continue. Big shout out to Jack in the Box. They're open 365 24/7, and they've got 15 locations here in El Paso and Las Cruces. Best spot to go before and after every game. For Sal Montes, for George Guajardo, though, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're winding it up here on Minor Talk. Special thanks to everybody who listened. If you missed the show, catch us on the podcast on demand. That's Minor Talk, wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll sign off here tonight as you're listening to 600 ESPN El Paso.